Tamworth pig passes away. Healthy purple potato launched in Scotland. Smoking chimp lived a long life. Two-legged pig learns to walk. Woman fends off bear with courgette. Man arrested for drink driving on lawnmower. Sri Lanka brews world's largest cup of tea. Woman dyed cat paint to match her hair. Texan ballot papers use Chilean flag. Sex change dog seeks home. Retired vet says Oxford horse is a dog. Kangaroo loves cider. Woman mixes up eye drops and glue. Nepal's shortest man on verge of world record. Dog bird double act famous in China. 10-stone toddler a danger to playmates. That's
for what the lot of
news. That's all
in the news this week.
There's another good one. Teenagers saved from drowning by space hopper. This was good. A large rubber inflatable with handles was thrown to the pair after they failed to reach a life buoy. So a neighbour rushed out and threw a space hopper into the river and didn't manage to save them.
That's
pretty impressive.
That's
pretty impressive. Yeah, you can't remember. So what we're up to is we're back. We should probably introduce you. We are almost doing
a really good idea. I'm Sam.
I'm Tom. Is that all the introduction you've got? There must be some more.
That's my introduction. So we're going to dissect the week's news for you. It's not a particularly skilled dissection, but it's probably more like the easy 15-year-old at the back of biology class looking at his pig's heart with a glass rod and saying,
really?
That's probably the only reasonable response to a lot of what's in the news.
When was the first time you cut open a pig's heart?
I can't remember how old.
You did biology, didn't you?
Yeah, I did all that dissection stuff at school, but I can't remember at what age specifically.
No,
but I know I always think about that stuff. I like the cutting and the.
What's the best thing you ever cut open?
We did like a frog once. That was quite good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, did you?
No, but I remember a cow's heart from a butcher.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. Mm. Our school wasn't very thorough.
No. Was it what they gave you a bit of a heart or?
I think it was a cheap heart. It was probably just sort of left over. It wasn't, I think I had to share it with a couple of other people. Okay. I don't remember enjoying the experience that much really.
Did you find it queasy or
no? No, I think that was alright. It didn't smell great, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm a meat, you didn't eat it. You're sort of quite a meat fan, aren't you? So
I'm a meat fan. I'm not a massive offal fan, but okay. Honest.
Fair enough. That's the meat.
Yeah.
So what stories have you got for us this week?
I spotted the one about the horse actually being a dog.
Okay.
That caught my eye. This is, if you don't know, it's the... What's the name of this famous horse that's painted horse in somewhere in England?
Oxford. It's in the Oxfordshire Hills.
And it's White Horse of Uffington. Here you go. And it's kind of carved into the chalky rock. And everyone thinks it's a white horse. I've got a picture of it here. It looks quite like a horse, doesn't it?
It looks a bit like a panther, actually, from what I mean.
So we have a whole third option that hasn't even been debated here. Some vet has said that actually this may have been supposed to be a dog all along. He says his name is Olaf Swarbrick. Olaf is a good name, isn't it?
A very good name. Yes, sort of a bit like Waffle, but not.
He said, looking at it again, it seems that it's not a horse at all. The tail and the head are wrong for a horse and more suggestive of a dog. It appears more like a large hound at full stretch. I thought it may be a greyhound, but an anthropologist suggests it's a wolfhound, which, assuming it's not a horse, makes more sense.
What I don't understand about this is why this is in the news. Like, he's a retired vet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even a useful one to try a current practicing top of the game vet.
No.
It's not a news story anyway. It's especially not a news story when it's by a retired vet. I'm struggling to see what's happened here. Is there any more story to this?
No, it's pretty much a retired vet thinks that this old landmark, which we call the horse, is actually a dog.
Okay, well, I'm not impressed with this. This is a week of big news. We've got to go. We forgot to mention, for a few, a bit more about the horse.
That's probably most of what there is to say about the horse.
Okay, well, the main story that we've not talked about, other than the return effect, that's obviously, is the Chilean miners.
Yeah,
big story going on there. So they started being rescued.
Yeah, so last I checked about an hour ago, 16 of them had come out.
Was was based on the Sky News account that they've got up on their screen, which is saying how many miners out of the 33 they have currently saved. On the running counter.
No, so I was looking at the Guardian website.
Oh, well, that's your first mistake. So
the Sky have completed numbers. Is it like the election result where, you know, Sky would say that a miner had been rescued, when in fact he was only getting on the thing at the bottom of the shaft?
They
tend to jump the gun a bit.
Exactly. And they've just got a kind of list of them. I don't know what they're going to do, so they're saying they've got like the 33. It's like a computer game, so you've got to sort of progress through the levels to get your full allocation of miners. But yeah, there's 33 of them. They've been nearly half a mile beneath the Atacama Desert in Chile, and they're all being dragged out. But this story is particularly interesting. This story is particularly interesting because we heard about the tales that have come out from the fact that they've been under there. So there was a man, his wife came to the mine to sort of, show her love for him and pay respects. This is the early days of Mine Gate. Mine Wife Gate. And then another woman turned up with a picture of him as well, who claimed to be a lover that he promised to marry. So they only discovered that they both existed when they both went to this mine to go and, to see him. Mm. So they had a fight in a cafeteria.
It's exciting.
It does sound exciting, but both of the women since then have disappeared from the public view. So we don't know exactly what. I think they're still alive. Nothing since then. But they've got Clifford or some
other things like digging.
That was a good competition. But there's been some quite nice stories. One person, Claudio Yanez, he proposed to his partner of the last 10 years, but she turned him down, saying they were, they weren't ready. But then when he looked up down the mine, she then asked him to marry her, and he said yes. So that's good work. So it's just been quite a nice little set of stories for me. And that all about the cheating wife is a bit difficult. What do you think would happen on that woman? Do you think it would emerge about the EU if you were sort of out of action for a few months? Any secrets going on?
Secrets that wouldn't reveal themselves until I was trapped in a mine half a mile below the ground.
Yeah, I'm just curious as to why you think that would cause any problems for you. You may as well get that now because this is causing severe problems for the man and his two wives.
I don't think I have any major secrets that anyone would be that interested in.
Okay. What were your perspective on this whole thing? I mean, it sounds like it's not too bad. Their daily meals are about 2,200 calories, supplemented with vitamin pills. They get bread, butter, jam, ham and cheese, hot coffee and tea delivered in the thermos with fruit. And they get, cooked lunch, which is vacuum packed and sent down for them.
That sounds all right.
It sounds all right. Doctors vetoed the men's requests for beer and wine, even for special occasions such as the Chilean bicentenary. So that's quite harsh. I mean, how do you feel? You'd want a bit of beer and wine.
Yeah, I think. Did they allow them cigarettes?
They allowed them some low tar cigarettes, but they must walk 500 yards from camp to a designated smoking area.
How big is that camp underground?
I think it's pretty big. They initially were stuck in like a tiny little hole, but they've kind of worked their way into a whole kind of labyrinth of housing out there. There's loads of room, but I think room is an issue. But I think the reason they didn't give them beer and wine is because they needed them to be a certain breadth before they went too fat to get up in the shuttle. You know what happens if you're stuck down there and you've got loads of wine, it's sort of inevitable what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So they went like that, and they were giving low tar cigarettes, but yes, it's not ideal. So yeah, it sounds like quite a cool situation.
They're now all famous, and then they're all massively in demand. Apparently, they've received loads of offers of people wanting them to not only media to share their stories, but loads of people wanting to advertise their products. And so I was thinking, what kind of products do you think the Chilean miners would possibly be good for advertising?
Some podcasts, because if you think people want to get them to endorse paper cuts, we could have sent them some other episodes.
Yeah.
If you've done that best of you always said you were going to do, then we could have sent that down the mine and kept them staying there. Said, oh, thanks to paper cuts, my sanity was maintained, even when all odds seemed against it.
I think they've got enough time down there that they can listen to all of the episodes.
It's available somewhere, petcuts.podomatic.com. you can get the last few episodes
on iTunes.
Oh, iTunes, that's correct. Yeah. There's probably a way somewhere.
So I would say they should promote paper cuts, definitely.
Okay,
well, we'll look into that.
Maybe, the guy who's got the two wives, he could probably work for some kind of, chatting up kind of forum, sort of Lothario's forum, something like that.
Maybe, I think insurance would be the obvious one. Apparently, among the products that they've been asked to endorse are beer, mining equipment, and a sex aid vitamin product.
Wow.
But
I don't want to see that advert. It's going to be a whole suite of drills, and it's going to be dodgy.
Apparently, they've kind of agreed to all share all of the wealth that they make from sharing this story. They're going to write a book together, and they're not going to, no individual is going to get out of profit at the expense of the other one. So hopefully, none of them will ever have to work again. So this is what one of the men told his wife in a letter. He said, "We've received offers to be filmed and interviewed by national television." He says that Yoni Barrios. But he said, "We didn't accept because we're going to form the foundation and all our daily experiences during our time down here will go into book and other projects." So that's a nice spirit, team spirit they've got there. They're all going to share it together. That'd be nice. But apparently they've all vowed never to talk about exactly what went on for the initial 17 days before the borehole reached them. And they were just trapped down there. They thought they were never going to be saved. The wise wife said, "Things went on down there that will never be spoken of." Taking a pledge of silence.
Wow,
the mind boggles.
That's going to definitely be a film made about that.
Yeah, I should think so.
Although I heard that they had some marmalade and some, like 10 peaches or something, like 2 days worth of food for those first 7 days, so they had to survive on eking out with rations.
They had a leader guy who was very, very strict to make sure that they only ate very small amounts to try and keep them going for longer.
Yeah. Well, those first 17 days, that's going to be the really interesting one, the prequel. So there'll be the film of the heroic kind of saving will be out, and then they'll go and do the soul good prequel. But that sounds intriguing.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty big story. Probably the second biggest story of the week was the mystery cigar guy who upstaged Tiger Woods at the Ryder Cup. Who was this guy? He's brilliant. I found out a bit more about me. You heard about this story?
I've seen a little video of the guy with the cigar.
Yeah, so actually, this is a brilliant photograph, one of the best sports photos ever, of Tiger Woods completely miscuing a shot and basically hit a Daily Mail photographer right in the lens, but before it hit his smash his camera, it took a photo of the ball flying towards him and a whole crowd of people looking at him. And there's one particularly brilliant guy called Mr. Shingardia, who is an investment analyst in London, and he had worn a ridiculous wig and moustache combination with a cigar.
It was a wig.
He was dressed as Miguel Angel, who, it was a tribute to him. So we'll put this up on the website. We'll do it on the Facebook group. I think that's all changed now. But yeah, you'll see this photo is brilliant.
What exactly is the news story here? What's the news angle?
The news angle is it's become an internet sensation. This is the thing. So that's the thing. And you can also find out how to dress like Cigar Guy by going there. So that was the second biggest story of the week. What's your biggest story of the week?
Big stories. So last week the Nobel Prizes were announced. Probably the one that caused the biggest, ironically, the Nobel Peace Prize seems to have provoked a diplomatic incident between China and Norway. It was awarded to Liu Xiaobo, who's a sort of pro-democracy activist in China. He's in prison. But a day after the award was announced, they let his wife go into prison and say, you've won this prize. He spent ages not, sort of not knowing. He'd won sort of one of the most esteemed prizes in there is probably up there with the MTV Europe Video Awards and all of those things, one of those student radio awards that
we didn't win. Probably about as good as one of those. Well done to him. Does he deserve it?
But I don't know. I wouldn't like to say.
Is there going to be a war between Norway and China?
I don't know. That could well happen. Apparently, the Norwegian ambassador was summoned for a dressing down. I don't know what the point of that was. I don't think he was particularly involved in the dressing process.
Well, yeah, I mean, someone's got to take responsibility, haven't they, really?
But perhaps more notably, the Nobel Prize for Chemistry was awarded to a guy called Andre Geim, and so he got the Nobel Prize for Physics, but he's the first person to win both the Nobel Prize and an Ig Nobel Prize, because in 2000 he won it for using magnets to levitate a frog. That was the Ig Nobel Prize.
Wow, magnets to levitate a frog.
Mm.
So he should have won the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't.
Did you see that thing where about the insane clown posse that was flying on the Guardian this week?
I saw it, I didn't really read all of it.
Okay, it was quite interesting. Anyway, they're these sort of, as if you don't like K-pop, and there's no way you would ever listen to the insane clown posse, but they're kind of fairly rude, abrupt, kind of very misogynistic, old-school, kind of abusive hip-hop troupe who dress up like clowns, the sort of big, fat, white rappers. And they have a lot of lyrics, it's like cartoon violence and kind of they're like parodies. And then they came out as being new born again Christians. Well, they've been Christians all along, and this is some way that they are, you know, kind of encouraging people to lead a good life. It sort of shocked everyone and seems a bit bizarre. But their main argument was that the way to believe in God and the science was wrong, was that they're like, how do magnets work anyway? So that was a big issue for them. The magnets are sort of thing.
But
no one can
understand.
Yeah,
no one exactly quite understands.
But magnets, does anybody understand that shit?
Well, you know, magic is also, well, it's magic.
Good role play, magic.
So they did use magnets to levitate a frog. That was in 2000, and so the week before last, the Ig Nobels for this year were announced. They're worth going through because they're more interesting than the Nobel Prizes, let's be honest. So the Medicine Prize went to some Dutch researchers who discovered that breathing difficulties brought on by asthma can be alleviated by repeated roller coaster rides.
Wow,
that's a good discovery. The Physics Prize went to some New Zealand scientists who demonstrated that people are less likely to slip over unicy footpaths if they wear their socks outside their shoes instead of inside. You ever tried that?
Sock over the shoe?
Sock over shoe technique.
No. So you can take you to get into nightclubs where you've got to wear smart shoes.
My friend did that on going to a formal dinner in Cambridge, in one of the colleges, and he kind of didn't have smart shoes with him, so he put black socks on top of his trainers, and then he got in. Like,
wow, good work.
So the biology prize went to a team who described the sexual antics of the short-nosed fruit bat. They showed that females who performed oral sex on the mate's copulation for longer. They said it's the first documented case of fellatio by adult animals other than humans, and opens questions about whether female animals can manipulate males by sexual activity, perhaps in this case, to improve their chances of successful fertilisation.
Well, I think we can all learn an important lesson from that.
The Peace Prize went to a psychologist who discovered that swearing does actually help you to experience less pain when you hurt yourself.
I could definitely go for that.
We probably know that intuitively, but get to have it confirmed by science.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's not ignoble at all. Well, speaking of pain, in China, they've got some new benches, and they're in the Yangtze Park in Shandong province in eastern China. And what they are, that you have to put money in the meter in order to use the bench. And if you don't, you can't sit there all day. If you don't keep topping up the money, then spikes come up and make it painful to sit on, so that you can't sit there all day on a bench for free. So they've got a big problem with that. I mean,
this is a big problem. An antisocial behaviour problem in China. People are like, well, apparently there was this big problem at weekends, you know, all the crowds overwhelm the cities, and, people, there's just too many people taking up space in the parks. So I guess it's a very practical solution. I read this story as well. Apparently, a sculptor called Fabian Brunzing created a similar bench as kind of an artwork that sort of protests against commercialization of modern life. But Chinese people are very practical, and they decided to adopt this. I think it's not a bad idea. We should possibly go over that in some spaces in London.
Where else do you think you could do that? I'm slightly worried I can feel some spikes coming up in the stair at this point in time, but like
I think that's controlled by the listeners. It'd be too boring if they sense spikes. No, I guess tube trains is an obvious one, or busy pubs.
Tube trains, that's a good idea for that. Tube trains, actually, that you say sort of pay a little bit extra to sit down.
Yeah.
That's a good idea, I like that.
Yeah, I mean,
same system, that's good.
It's a way of making it so that, you know, everyone gets a turn, possibly, or, but perhaps it's also creating a two-tier system where the richest people get to sit down and poor people have to stand up. And you know, I don't know if we can really get behind the idea. It's very egalitarian.
It should be based on your tokens, get behavior tokens. So if you let somebody on, you know, we don't push off on the train, there's a lot of train in
here,
and then you get a token by, I don't know how our system's going to work. But
I was sitting next to a guy today on the tube, and he had was listening to incredibly loud, really bad music, and like those headphones were right in his ears, and I can hear every note. Mm-hmm. Must be deafening in my head.
You should have had a word. I'm frightfully sorry, sir, but your music's awfully loud, and I'm quite concerned for your oral health.
Well, I was very close to being that.
Yeah, people wear big headphones and listen to paper cuts, or you know, maybe if someone calls you up on it, just share the love and say, "I listen to a good podcast, but I'm going to sound loud so I can hear what they're saying."
Okay. Other news from the Far East: North Korea had this massive military parade last week, at which Kim Jong-il's son, Kim Jong-un, made his first public appearance after sort of being not officially announced, but it's kind of become apparent that he's going to be the heir to Kim Jong-il. And this guy's only 27 years old. It seems like, you know, a lot of pressure being put on his shoulders to become the next sort of world supervillain. And he's an odd-looking bloke. He's kind of chubby-faced. He looks like a marshmallow. Yeah, I don't know if you...
Is he taller than his dad?
I think he's a bit taller than his dad. His dad is looking very frail now. He's
I wouldn't say that to his face.
He had a stroke last year. He said he's suffering from diabetes and kidney trouble. The speculation that in 2012, which is the centennial of Kim Il-sung's birth, that's going to be a major year for celebration, and that's possibly when the new leader's going to be coming out. But recently, importantly, North Korea set up an official Twitter account. So that's an important step. We don't have an official UK Twitter account, do we?
No.
I know David Cameron's wife is a big fan, but we don't have an official one.
Do you follow David Cameron's wife on Twitter?
No, I don't. But she has thousands and thousands of followers. North Korea, they have their official. So I had a look at their recent tweets the other day to see if they might be worth following. And they said things like, the Foundation anniversary workers, 65 something of workers, a general secretary of the party, great Park Ryong, General Kim Jong Il to head the imperialist National Democratic Front Door Central Committee to celebrate. It was celebrate the Korean. So
this is not 140 characters.
Yeah, well, I guess the rule in Korean is that you get 140 Korean characters, and I put this stuff into a automatic translated thing, which might be one reason why it doesn't even make a lot of sense. But it seems like you're getting a lot more text for your money. But it doesn't seem very interesting. The one that says, the some inclusion of Joseon's power in the room, but the victory there, behold, five. And then there's a link to some pictures of fireworks.
You're not going to get many retweets there, I imagine.
No, I mean, they've got a few thousand followers. I think probably not as many as Sarah Brown. But, I think I'm going to be signing up. They're not giving me good value for money.
Yeah, you don't want that. I'm following up your feed, really, do you? Speaking of social networks, apparently the Japanese have the fewest digital friends on social networks. In Malaysia, the average number of friends is 233. Closely followed by 231 in Brazil and 217 in Norway. This contrasts to an average of just 29 friends in Japan and 68 in China. So
that says something about the Japanese culture, or
I don't know. I think you know they're pretty more discerning. I've got a load of friends on Facebook.
How many?
Exactly. Somewhere in the 500 and something region. You know, but there's no way 500 and something people like me or would describe me as a friend. You know, that's just anyway.
No, I can't believe that.
No, but it's more of a reflection on them, but it seems a bit strange.
Yeah, I've got not as many as that, but there are certainly people on there that I met once or twice, or people that I used to know and have no intention of ever contacting again.
Yeah, well, yeah, so that was maybe sort of slightly intriguing. But yeah, I mean, if that's Twitter followers either, that seems just social network friends. I mean, that could be a combination of all of these things and more. But yeah, North Korea, clearly, you want to get retweeted by Kim Jong-il. Maybe I should start, doing some sort of more pro-democratic People's Republic of Korea material. I mean, some of my other materials
that I need to retweet you.
Yeah, and then I can sort of get picked up by,
I think the problem is that you're not talking about the Joseon dynasty enough. That's probably where you're
going. Maybe I should just convert some of my tweets into Korean and then sort of act. Do you want the Twitter URL for the Korean research to come out as well, saying that Mondays are less miserable than Tuesdays. Apparently Tuesdays are the worst day of the week. How do you feel about that?
I don't know if I believe that.
Really? What's your worst day of the week?
It's probably Monday. Probably, actually, it varies in the week, doesn't it? You know, sometimes you have a shit day on a Thursday.
Very true. But on average, this is, you know, there's got to be a sort of a pattern here that this sort of, you know, transcends any kind of the individual comings and goings.
Mm. I'd say, yeah, most likely Monday.
I reckon you've still got the protection from the weekend on Monday. Tuesday, you're like far away from last weekend and far away from next weekend, so you're sort of stuck. The information has been gathered by sending an alert to volunteers' iPhones twice a day, asked how they feel, who they're with, and what they're doing. So yeah, it's kind of interesting meetups of research that's going to come out based on people's kind of whims and stuff like that. So it's kind of interesting.
Okay. What was the happiest day?
They did say that. No one cares about positive psychology. Like I say, it's Bournemouth is the happiest place in the country. 82% of respondents seem pretty content. But London is rather less cheerful, bizarrely enough. So, there you go.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, everyone's moody and being hit by spikes. And, yeah, having other people's headphones too loud next to them is clearly causing friction.
That's probably it. So, the other day, the Daily Mail's astrology column was a little bit unusual. Do you see why this was?
No, I mean, I don't keep a regular. I don't know what the usual state of affairs for the Daily Mail column is, so I don't know how unusual it would be.
Well, they had an unfortunate production error, so there is an astrologer, Jonathan Kainer. There are a number of misconnections in there. Instead, they had, so Aries, for example, the text said, this is a swathe of dummy text that can be used to indicate how many words fit a particular space. And that stuff's not going to help you plan your day. Cancer, the paragraphs have been made deliberately different lengths in order to avoid repetition. There was no pretend Latin because annoyingly it wreaks havoc with spell check.
Wow, so what happened here?
So some kind of weird production edit, production problem. Bad editing. You think somebody. Does nobody read the Daily Mail before it goes out? That would explain a lot of
probably
where it goes wrong.
So that was on the website or on the actual paper?
It was on the actual paper.
Oh, or paper.
Yeah, a whole load of bloody text.
That's ridiculous. But probably as accurate as any of the other predictions that have been going along. One of my favourite stories of the week. This is my Aaron Logan news story of the week, sometime feature on Paper Cuts. Streaker hopes to bag $1 million challenge. A registered billionaire says a man arrested for streaking during a rally by President Obama will try to win his $1 million challenge. Juan Rodriguez was charged with indecent exposure, public lewdness, and disorderly conduct after streaking at the rally in Philadelphia. Alki David has offered $1 million to anyone who has streaked in front of Obama with the name of his battlecam.com website on his chest. Rodriguez from New York said he was confident he'd met all the conditions of the challenge, but Mr. David said the money would only be paid if the streaker had made it to within earshot and eyesight of the president. We're waiting to review all the video footage and we'll be back with a statement tomorrow, said Mr. David. The rules of the challenge issued last month included shouting the name of the website 6 times. Mr. David admitted his only motive in issuing the challenge was to attract publicity for his website. Streaking is an age-old tradition. That's one that does get attention. You marry a naked person and Mr. Obama together in one event, and it's very good.
That's making clear they marry this person.
I don't know if they. That's probably what, another million for that.
Is that how Michelle got to be first lady?
Could be.
She was streaked several years ago.
I have to make it very clear, however, I'm a fan of the president. It has nothing to do with him. So there you go. Good way to find $1 million, but we'll have to see whether he finds a loophole. That's not, we might where we're doing that sort of thing.
A loophole.
Yeah.
Yeah, Obama's been getting lipstick recently, hasn't he? He's been.
Not just being heckled by naked people.
Yeah, and not that kind of stick. But, so John Stewart apparently has become increasingly critical of Obama for just being disappointing, and a lot of his staff are leaving. His chief of staff has gone to run for mayor of Cincinnati or something. It doesn't look good for him, especially when naked guys are running for him.
It's a tough break. The thing with John Stewart was that he always said he's not, partisan. He's there to. The reason he had more material about the Republicans was because they were in power and, you know, they were also to deal with stuff. They are, exactly. But, you know, he's also got to show that he's, not just pandering to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, fair enough. things when he comes to
the end.
Could be. Yeah, exactly.
That's some cutting satire, you know, making works of art out of actual leaders' former body parts.
Definitely. But I doubt that they probably assess for that. But still, you know,
it seems unlikely.
It does. It's like that guy who claims he has Hitler's testicle. It seems, does seem unlikely. Yeah, one thing, sort of, lessons learned, you know, it's important to talk about lessons learned.
Yeah, one last thing learned this week.
This week we've heard about don't make a PowerPoint presentation detailing your sexual conquests and share it with your friends. This is definitely a bad idea. Karen Owens, 50-year-old student, detailed her exploits with 13 men. She produced an unofficial senior honours thesis detailing the pros and cons and the rights of their sexual prowess in 10 coloured charts. You know, bad idea.
I thought it says that that was a bad idea.
Definitely a bad idea. The reason it caught my eye this week was because I was on a train this week, like on one of those like leaning bits, you know, where you can sort of lean by the door.
Yeah. And a large arse perching spots.
Yeah, a little arse perching spot. And the woman next to me was filling out a pros and cons list for what must be their like current partner. Or maybe it was you know, quite intense. There was a long list of both the pros and the cons. I got to look at some of them. I mean, that was a lot, and I sort of, yeah, felt it. Is that bad to look at people's?
I feel bad about looking at people's stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like to look at what I'm reading or writing.
That's true. That's true. But you shouldn't be doing that in that sort of public space.
But since you did look, can you tell us?
Well, if the guy's listening, then things I can give him some advice. He should have stronger opinions. Doesn't have very strong opinions. I think that was a con. It could have been a pro.
Okay.
But I think that was con. Selfish.
Sometimes it's better not to have strong opinions, you know. That's my opinion. But I don't hold it very strongly.
Well, that's, I mean, I don't know where you're going to get on the pros and cons list, but I think that's a con. You've just done that. So also being selfish, not ambitious enough. These are all things on his cons list. So I think it's going to be a tough break for that guy. But I would definitely put making pros and cons lists on her con of her pros and cons list. So it's a difficult one.
Yeah,
it's difficult one.
But there's a lot of pros on the list.
It was a long list of pros, but there was a longer list of cons.
And I just think you have given her some pros if you were rating her.
Well, no,
you have some good pros.
Do you mean pros with an E at the end? Or?
No.
Okay, but. Yeah, she probably would. Yeah, I immediately would have discounted her. Like, basically, I think. If you can go out with someone, the list of cons was very long. And I think if you have to make a list and then the list can be that long.
Yeah.
You should probably knock it on the head.
It's probably not worth it.
No. And so it's usually
maybe this where you're making a list that doesn't seem.
It's usually a bad sign. I mean, she wasn't really young. She wasn't younger than me, I'd say. You know, well, I'm 25, so I'm getting on a bit now. But she, so she, you know, she's sort of in her own mind by now. And if there's that many, you know, cons, I think you ought to, you know, just don't go for it.
So, did you say this to her?
I thought, you know, it's going to make me look bad because I'm not going to go for it, but it did occur to me this could be a good idea.
And then the problem with writing down the list is, you know, there's always the danger that people, radio broadcasters or even the person you're writing about could possibly, you know, see the list.
That's true. Well, I'm not giving any details about where this train was or who this person was. So don't you give any clues.
If someone takes their train sometimes, then, you know, you should be worried.
You should be very worried.
If you don't have strong opinions about stuff.
Definitely. You should be terrified. So that's just what I learned this week.
Okay.
But if anyone listens. Have you ever made a pros and cons list about anyone?
No. When I was thinking about getting a different co-presenter, I made the list. But just about made the cover.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, we should probably call it there. Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Have you got any lessons you wanna tell us about, or pros and cons you want to tell us about? Then email the show. Do we sell an email that we can get people?
No, but you can tweet us.
What's on Twitter? I think that's radio. And don't be put off by the fact that we haven't tweeted recently, but we might get back on that soon.
Yeah, well, I'll tweet the cigar guy, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, no, definitely. The cigar guy will get tweeted.
Okay, so, use Twitter or Facebook. I think it's now the Facebook.
I think Facebook groups are getting taken off. It's got to be fan pages now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we'll lose all those masses that we collect on.
Right, well, we were like the biggest paper cuts group.
I know, that was a constant battle between us and the French social group. Well, we'll have to see how that one could be a little battle. But anyway, thank you very much for listening.
Yeah,